We're in a series right now talking about why Jesus. Why Jesus? And we're exploring this question in a couple different ways. But I want to ask, when you pray and you're praying to Jesus, in all honesty, what's your expectation that he can do anything about what you're praying? I mean, in all honesty, are you praying because you know you should be praying? Are you praying because you're like, I don't got any other options, I need something to change? Or when you pray, you have an expectation Jesus can change something? And I think we just need to have a real honest conversation, because I think that affects our faith and how we pray. And so the title of the message today is, Why Jesus is Elite, Not Weak. Why Jesus is Elite, Not Weak. And so I want us to start off reading Matthew 5. And the words are not going to be up on the screen like usual. I don't know if some of you are astute, you know, you're studying with Sherlock, but you're like, Phil, there was no words on the screen. And then you chose a new song, and they definitely weren't on the screen. And I want to tell you today, our team, we had an epic battle this morning with what's called ProPresenter that runs all of our words. And we took our best people to battle, and ProPresenter won. And that is why you have no words on the screen. But I want to let you know, we don't give up easily. We will fight continually. And we pray next week that we will have words on the screen again. But it didn't happen today, and that's going to be okay. So open your Bibles, your Bible app, or if you just want to trust that I am reading from Matthew 5 today, may you be filled with faith. But Matthew 5, verse 38 says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well." When I ask sometimes what they think about Jesus, they sometimes think of these verses and they're like, he sounds kind of weak. He sounds kind of soft. Why would he teach us this way? And it affects how you pray. Maybe you think Jesus is a little weak. He's a little soft. I mean, if you're like me, you're known for a little bit of retaliation. Like if you look here, if you're here in the gym or you played basketball before, there's reasons there's pads against those walls, right? The reason there's pads against those walls is people play basketball like me. They're not there just for looks. They're there for the people I throw into the wall. I played basketball growing up here, and I was notorious for being a bit aggressive, is one word. My mother at one point would have described it as angry, you know? There was one game we were playing, and we were winning, and someone stole the ball. They got lucky. And so I was running them down. I was going to block their shot for stealing the ball from me. It was just how that goes. Unfortunately for Philip, the stereotype that white people can't jump exists because of me. Me and gravity have a great relationship. We're very close to each other. So Philip goes to block the shot, and I don't get high enough to block the ball, but I do get 100% of this kid's body. And he is just sent careening into the wall. It does not look good. In case you're wondering, I'm not shedding any tear for this young man. But my mother's seen enough, and she comes out of the stands. That's not a good thing. And in case you're wondering, my mother's half Puerto Rican. And so I see her walking all the way around the court, and I'm like, this is not going to be good. And because she had already told me about my anger on the court a little bit, and I didn't mean to send the kid flying through the air into the wall. I mean, that wasn't my first goal, you know, if I'm being honest from the bottom of my heart. I just meant to make sure he knew he should never think of stealing the ball from me ever again because the price was too high. But she comes around, and she comes all the way over to in front of our bench and starts talking to our coach in the middle of the game. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a parent with your kid playing sports, I'm going to tell you a secret. Your coach does not want to hear from you in the middle of the game as a parent at all, like zero. If you ever have an inkling, like maybe coach wants to hear, they don't. They don't. Just sit back down. But she tells coach, pull Philip out of the game. And I think he's just as much of in shock as I am. And so eventually he just acquiesces. I mean, we're winning. We're going to win this game. It's the fourth quarter. So he pulls me out. And that was the time my mother herself pulled me out of a basketball game because my anger, quote, didn't look good. But that was what I was known for. I was going to retaliate. If you fouled me, I was just going to foul you harder. And so these verses, what Jesus actually teaches, is perplexing to me. I mean, maybe you're like me. If someone crosses you, you're going to let them know. Some of you are devious. You'll wait for your moment to let them know. You know what I'm saying? You don't even respond in the moment. You start plotting. You start thinking over how I'm going to get this person back. But then Jesus teaches we should turn the other cheek. We should give our coat. And this is what's difficult about this teaching, because some of you, if you're here at church today, right, we follow and we're here because Jesus has forgiven us of our sins, right? We like that. We appreciate that. That's good news for us. But there's a difference between just being thankful that Jesus has forgiven you of your sins and following the ways of Jesus. They're two separate things. You can show up to church your whole life very thankful that Jesus has forgiven your sins, but you don't follow in his ways. Jesus actually spent his life not only looking to come and forgive us of our sins and make a way, but he actually taught stuff. And so when you read these verses, if you're like me, you go, wait a minute, you want me to live like that, Jesus? And Jesus is like, absolutely. Absolutely, I want you to live like that. This is what I'm teaching. You either live this out or you don't. If you want to say you follow me, this is how you live. And I'm like, so I shouldn't send young men flying into walls. And she's like, no. So is Jesus weak or is he soft by making us do this? But I'm going to submit to you, absolutely not. I'm going to submit to you, absolutely not. And I think we have to read more of what Jesus teaches in context to begin to learn this. I'm a huge believer that the Bible should be read in its full context, Genesis to Revelation. I don't think you should read verses here or there, or even just this one random chapter there. I think you should read Genesis to Revelation in its full context to grasp what the Bible's trying to teach us. And so Luke 22, I want us to look at. Luke 22, verse 47. Luke 22, verse 47. If you can't find it, you can write it down in your notes, because I fully trust that you're taking notes, of course, right now. So Luke 22, verse 47, it says, while he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them, and he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. And then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, am I leading a rebellion that you've come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. I read those verses and I'm like, that's how I would respond. If I'm running with Jesus, if I'm in the crew with Jesus, and you try to come arrest him with clubs and swords, we're going to throw down. Like, over my dead body are you taking Jesus? We're going to fight. I will send you into the padded wall. And that's how some of these guys respond. They break out the swords, they chop off a guy's ear, and I think it's not because they were aiming for the ear, they were aiming for the head and barely whiffed, you know? But Jesus turns around to his people and says, no more of this. Like, they're ready to throw down for Jesus. Wouldn't that make you feel special or important, Jesus? And he says, no more of this. And then he heals the guy's ear. What? Like, what is that? But it's almost like he's living out what he taught. Turn the other cheek. You want to arrest me? I'll go. And man, that's so perplexing to us, right? Like, why would you ever willingly go? Like, why would you let these people arrest you? But what if our idea of how to handle the situation that we would need to stick up for Jesus, what if Jesus doesn't need us to defend him? I wonder if so many times as Christians we live our whole life trying to stick up for Jesus, defend him before people that make fun of him or think he's weak or soft or not worthy or whatever it is. And we kind of live this life like we've got to stick up for Jesus. But in this moment, when people could have stuck up for Jesus, he's like, no, I got this. One of the other gospels tells us, Jesus says, I could have called down legions of angels right now if I wanted to. But I won't. And I wonder if, as Christians, we have this complex that Jesus needs us to defend him. But Jesus goes, no, I'm good. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. If you go read some of these other verses before this happens, right before, Jesus was actually praying fervently, Lord, take this cup from me. If there's any other option, take it from me. But not my will, but your will be done. In its context, Jesus now is shown as, I'm only doing what God asked me to do. I'm only doing what God asked me to do. So is Jesus really weak? Or is he focused on a mission? Is Jesus really weak, or is he focused on a mission? Right now, when all these people show up with swords and clubs and they got their whole posse showing up to arrest Jesus, they're all focused that this guy's leading a rebellion. He's coming after our power. He's coming after our authority. They've got all this perspective that Jesus is trying to take something from me, and I'm threatened. His disciples are starting to look out. Oh my gosh, they're coming to take Jesus. They're taking something from me. They feel threatened, and they feel like they've got to react. The only person who doesn't feel threatened in this whole scenario is Jesus, the guy getting arrested and betrayed. He doesn't feel threatened at all. Otherwise, he would have called down legions of angels. And so Jesus, maybe he isn't weak. Maybe he's on mission. Maybe he's focused on things that the rest of us as human beings couldn't see in the moment. Maybe these times where Jesus is working, but we see it differently. We miss what he's doing because of our perspective. Jesus isn't weak. He's on mission. He's not here for earthly things. He's here for the kingdom things. He's sent from the kingdom of heaven. And what if the kingdom of heaven that exists right now, that's different from the world, has different values, has different goals, has a whole different mission than the way we see this world? What if Jesus came down on a mission from heaven to live differently, and he's teaching us the principles of heaven? The principles of heaven are turn your cheek. Someone sues, give your coat. And in all honesty, is that not a bit anti-American? I mean, we're like independent people. We're pull yourself up by your bootstraps. We're go get it done yourself. Don't tread on me is literally some of our language here. But I don't see that anywhere in the gospel. The gospel's like the complete opposite. The kingdom of heaven seems to be opposite in the way we're wired in our flesh to live. That's why it's so hard. I find it a lot easier to throw somebody's body into the padding than let it go. But what if the kingdom of heaven is so different than the way we live in this world? What if the kingdom of heaven, their rules are so different than by what we play with? What if the things that we feel so threatened by are actually just an opportunity to be obedient to the Lord? You see, Matthew 5, verse 5, says something really interesting to me. And one of our community groups, Alan Teresa's group, they're going through Matthew 5 through 7, doing a great job. It's a shameless plug. If you're not in a community group, I would encourage you, get into a community group. Get into an opportunity to engage with what the scripture says. Talk with it with your leaders. Be around other people who are going to encourage you in your faith. You're not meant to do life on your own. They're doing a great job going through these verses. But Jesus is teaching, Matthew 5, this is at the very beginning of his ministry. Matthew 5, 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they're going to inherit the earth. That's very counterculture to us, if we're honest. Meek is not something we're looking for in our leaders, right? When we think of meek inherently, whether it's the rhyming or whatnot, inherently most people think meek equals weak. And that's just how we go, if we're just having an honest conversation. Maybe you don't. May you be blessed. I don't know if it's your lack of grammar or your knowledge of vocabulary. I'm not sure. But honestly, that's kind of where I go. But blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. That's bizarre to me, because people who typically inherit things have gone and conquered things, right? I mean, when the Israelites roll through the promised land, they inherited it by taking everybody else out. That's how that went. And so why is it that Jesus now comes and teaches us, blessed are the meek, for they're going to inherit the earth, like they're going to conquer it? That makes no sense to me. But Jesus teaches that early on. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And it begins to sound so ironic. But what if a Christian is most secure when they have nothing to prove to the world? What if you as a Christian, a follower of Jesus, are most secure in your life when you have nothing to prove to this world? I really believe Jesus is teaching here, you, if you follow me, you don't have anything to prove to this world. Jesus, when he's being arrested and he's looking at these people arresting him, he's thinking, I have nothing to prove to you. I have everything to prove to the Father. Meek biblically is described as submitted and committed to the Lord. He has a position of being humble before the Lord. And when you're biblically humble before the Lord, you're submitted to him, you're submitted to the ways of God and what Jesus is teaching, the world, in their perspective, can see weak. But what the world sees as weak, the kingdom sees as elite. What the world sees as weak, the kingdom of heaven sees as elite. The moment when Jesus is arrested and he's like, you don't have to fight for me. You don't have to stand up for me. I'm doing what God wants me to do in this moment. Everybody sees it as weakness. He's being led off. He's not putting up a fight. He's letting Judas betray him. He's going to be led off to his death. He's going to let people whip him and crucify him. And he's going to go through all of that. It can be viewed in the world as weak. But all of those moments, in the hardest moments, that he's being obedient to God and submitted to the Lord, he's viewed as elite by the kingdom of heaven. And it becomes this counterposition of what the world expects from us and what the kingdom of heaven expects to us. And so when I ask you, do you view yourself as weak or elite? When you view yourself, do you view yourself as weak or elite? What standards are you using? What standards are you using? Is it biblical standards, things that Jesus taught? Or maybe have you let the world creep in and define how you want to live your life? Because if you're living your life submitted to Jesus and the way things are called to, you're going to have to live out Matthew 5 that says, turn the other cheek. Someone sees you, give you your coat. You're going to have to do things that the world will be so perplexed by. They won't understand it. It's going to make no sense. But when you're doing that and everyone else sees weak, the kingdom sees elite. What standards do you view yourself with? Because Jesus didn't come with something to prove to us. He came to be meek, submitted to the Lord and the ways of heaven. There's this story by C.S. Lewis. You guys ever heard of this? The Chronicles of Narnia? If you haven't, I've got some suggested reading for you. It's fun, short books. It's kind of this made-up world that C.S. Lewis creates as a Christian, and he comes up with this idea to try to explain the gospel to children especially, but just to explain the gospel in a literary form. And one of the characters in the Chronicles of Narnia is called Aslan, and he's a lion. And in the second book, he's about to be introduced to the people. And they're about to meet Aslan for the first time. And some of the main characters are going to meet him. They're trying to explain what this moment of meeting Aslan is going to look like. And so the quote goes, Aslan is a lion, the great lion. Oh, said Susan. I thought he was like a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe? Said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you. I think so many times we get it a little mixed up when it comes to meeting Jesus. We think he's safe. Some of the stuff he may call us to isn't good. I think sometimes when we come to meet Jesus, we think he's going to be safe, but maybe not everything he asks us to do is going to be good. And I'm going to tell you it's the opposite. Coming to follow Jesus is not safe. Jesus is not weak. He's not soft. It may not always be safe to follow Jesus, but I tell you, he's good. He's good. He's the good shepherd, is what Scripture says. And so when I ask who you're praying to when it comes to Jesus, Is it somebody that's soft or weak, or is it someone who is meek and fully submitted to the ways of God and is elite in the eyes of heaven? I talk about reading Scripture in its full context. I want you to turn to Revelation 19. And I start opening the book of Revelation. I know some of you are like, oh, mercy. I don't know where he's going with this, but I'm not sure I like it. You start feeling uncomfortable, and you start feeling uncomfortable because Revelation can be a weird book. You start reading it, and you're like, I don't know what's happening. And you read it a second time, and you're like, I think I understand it even less than the first time. But we're going to Revelation 19 because we need to read from Genesis to Revelation to get a full context of who Jesus is and his character. Revelation 19, starting in verse 11, says, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a white robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. And now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." I promise you, Jesus is not weak. I promise you that Jesus is a man who, when he comes back, there will be no doubt on whether or not he's weak. When he comes back, if you've not been waiting for that moment, it will be the most terrifying thing you will have ever experienced. His eyes like a flame of fire, showing up with a whole army. This guy's not weak. He's lived his whole life living it out for the Lord, being meek, submitted to the ways of God, living out the ways of this heaven. And so when you see yourself, do you see yourself as meek, according to the Bible? Because Jesus says at the beginning of his ministry, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And we talked about how that language is, you don't really inherit the earth without conquering it. But then you read Revelation 19 and you understand why Jesus can promise that. Because he's coming back and he will rule the earth. He will inherit the earth. And who's going to inherit it with him? Those who were meek. Those who were submitted to the ways of God. Those who followed in his ways and his teaching. And it's so upside down that the people who were so confused by the way we lived our life according to the ways of God will inherit the earth when Jesus returns. But until then, people may be confused. They may not understand. They may look and go, why are you turning the other cheek? Why are you willing to give your coat when someone sues? I'm willing to do that so they may meet Jesus. I'm doing that because that's what the kingdom of heaven and its ways call me to. Because I'm not living for this world or its standards. So when you see yourself, do you see yourself as strong or meek? Do you see yourself as weak or elite? And what standards are you using? And I want to encourage you today that Jesus calls all of us to be elite. He calls every last one of us, come follow the Lord. Come submit yourself to the ways of God. And here's the thing, it's really hard to do that if you don't know what the Bible says. It's why I gave a shameless plug for community groups. It's why I gave this plug of, hey, go read Matthew 5 through 7 this week. Go be in the Word. Go see what it calls us to. It's hard to live up to a standard if you don't know it exists. And I think Jesus wouldn't call us to this if it wasn't possible. He sends Holy Spirit to help us live these things out, the things that he's calling us to. He's looking for you and I to go make an impact in this world around us. When Jesus sees you, if you've given your life to him, He does not see you as weak. He sees you as someone who has the opportunity to go be elite in the kingdom of heaven. And you may be struggling, you may be doubting, you may be thinking, after all the mistakes I've made, there's no way the tag of elite can be attached to me. I've made too many mistakes, and I'm here to tell you, because of the grace and mercy and forgiveness of Jesus, you've been washed clean. All the things that you try to run through your mind to tell yourself, this is why I can never be elite, this is why I'm not going to inherit the earth, this is why I can't be meek, I'm here to tell you today, those are all our standards. But it's not the way Jesus sees you if you've asked for forgiveness and given your life to him. You've been washed clean. All those thoughts, all those doubts, everything, that's coming from the enemy. That's coming from an enemy who fears what's coming in Revelation 19. That's coming from an enemy who does not want you to inherit the earth. That's coming from an enemy that never wants you to step into your God-given identity of being elite in the kingdom of heaven. And so maybe today there is something you need to do. Maybe today there's a day you need to submit to the Lord in the ways of Jesus and his actual teachings. It means we may have to give up some of our pride or our ways. So if the worship team wants to come back up, I want to close out with a couple questions. And the first is, I want to go back to, how do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? Honestly, if I came and we had coffee, or and you drink coffee and maybe I have a frappe, maybe some water, shameless plug for Abide Coffee and their frappe with Reese's peanut butter cups. I don't want to ask how many calories in it. There's some things I don't need to know. You know what I'm saying? Amen. But the way it tastes, I have grave concerns that the calorie count is high. But how do you see yourself? As a leader? Or do you see yourself maybe through a different lens of this world? And you don't think you can ever be elite, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus, by his grace and mercy, can wash you clean, and you can become meek, someone who's going to inherit the earth with Jesus. Same thing is, there's something that needs to be submitted to God, because meekness is defined as fully submitted to the ways of God. Is there something he's calling you to do? Is there asking you to step out in a certain way? I mean, the Bible says you're supposed to be a leader. Is there something God's called you to, but you keep doubting, you keep thinking, it can't be me, I can't go make an impact, I can't go start a Bible study where I work, or I can't make sure our family gets together and reads the word together? These things are uncomfortable. But maybe God keeps asking you, step out, influence the world around you, and it's time to submit. It's time to do what God's asking you to do. Your time is now. I know I say it all the time, but I believe it. We get one shot at this life. One shot. You can't go back to yesterday, and tomorrow has not happened. What are you going to do today to be defined as meek? As fully submitted to the ways of God. And the beautiful thing about Jesus is his grace and mercy is new. You could be here today and you've completely, in the nicest way possible, completely have botched your life. It could be full of more sin than anyone wants to know about. And Jesus says, bring it to me. I love you. I want to forgive you of your sin, have you follow in my ways. Today's your day. And maybe today is the day you want to give your life to Jesus. If you're in Hiawassee, you can come talk to Cordy. I'm going to be off to the side. Maybe you gave your life to Jesus, but you know the way you're living your life is not okay, and it's time to change today. You come talk to me. I'd love to pray with you. The grace of Jesus is for you to come follow him. And the last thing is, I want to challenge you on how you pray. When you pray, are you praying to Jesus that you subconsciously think is kind of weak, is kind of soft? If so, it's time to change. It's when you go to pray to Jesus, you're praying to one that Revelation 19 talks about, who's coming back to inherit the earth. There's no one who is going to stand in his way. You're praying to someone who is elite in the kingdom of heaven, who has come and shown us the way to be fully submitted to the ways of God, even if the world doesn't understand it. That's who you pray to, someone who can absolutely change things. And I know we can get disappointed because things don't always bounce our way. But Jesus isn't always here to change things to make our life most comfortable on this side of eternity. And so when you pray, who are you praying to? Is it soft Jesus? I don't know where you got that from reading the Bible. Are you praying to Jesus who's coming back and he's going to inherit the earth? Pray to Jesus who can change things, who has the strength and authority to change things. So Jesus, we ask you to come and move. Come and draw us close to you. Holy Spirit, please help us. Give us the identity, the mind to see who we can be in and through you, that we are not weak, we don't have to be soft, that we can be elite in the kingdom of heaven by following your example, Jesus. Won't you give us the confidence, the courage, the boldness to step out in faith? And I pray for anyone right now who's struggling with that, who's doubting, who the enemy's trying to tell them, you can't do that, you can't step out, you've messed up too much, you're too far gone. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus that they will step forth in their God-given identity to become meek, to become elite in the kingdom of heaven, who will follow in the ways of Jesus. So Holy Spirit, help us. I know we can't do it on our own. I pray for anyone right now who they've never given their life to Jesus, and they know, God, that you're calling them, that you are beckoning them, you're speaking to them right now. Help them to step out in faith and come talk to somebody and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. It's time for me to get right. I accept the mercy and love and grace that Jesus has toward me. So Holy Spirit, come and lead us in all that we do. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
From the mountains, Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness for every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus from the streets. Jesus in the darkness for every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus. Your name is healing. Your name is light. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is light. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just wanna speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Jesus, we sing tongues of fire. Tongues of fire, testifying of the Son, one desire. Spirit come, Spirit come, speak revival. Prophesy like it is done, one desire. Spirit, come, come, Holy Spirit, Spirit. blessing poured out. So pour it out, let your love run over. Here and now, Holy Spirit, let your glory fill this house. Oh, pour it out, let your love run over. Here and now, let your glory fill.
Father God, we thank you so much for who you are. God, we want to speak Jesus over this church, over this land, over other churches, over your body, God, that you have put together here on this earth. And I pray that we do things and we do things well, even though we face trials, like people coming up against us, questions and circumstances and struggles. God, I pray that you will be in the midst of all that and just show yourself in the midst of all that. And we give you the praise for that. God, we love you and we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated for me, church, please? Thank you guys for being here this morning. We had a volunteer breakfast this morning for our volunteers, which is people who have volunteered to help park cars all the way to lead Bible studies to this and to that, and we're very thankful for that. Would you show them just a real quick thank you for all that they do? And we're very appreciative of that. Remember, next week is Mother's Day. The weekend after that, we're having a baptism. So if you're interested in baptism, let us know so that we can make sure that we get everything taken care of for you. And this morning we are recognizing graduates. So there is Aaron. Aaron, if you'll come and take this mic and talk to us.
Good morning, church. What a good Sunday it is to be in the house of the Lord. Like Chris said, today is graduation Sunday, so as the youth director, it's one of the most bittersweet Sundays of the year for me because I get to do life with all of these wonderful students, and then I get to send them out, which is sad. But I know that they'll thrive. So if you are a high school or college or master's program graduate, if you will come and grab a gift bag with your name on it and then come up to the stage at this time. And if you're in Hiawassee, also make your way up to the front by Courtney. So while they're doing that, I'll explain what's in their gift bag. Sorry, it's going to be a spoiler for you guys. So Courtney is the college director, and so she gets to hang out with all the college students, so I'm sure that she's feeling the same way I am with sending out her students as well. So Courtney put together these awesome gift bags, and inside there is a map that is framed. And so on the map is a picture of this area. So if you're a Young Harris College student, it's a map of the area of Young Harris. If you are a Union County graduate, it's a map of Union County. And that is just a reminder that no matter where you go from here, that this is always your home and that you always have a church home here that is praying for you and cheering you guys on. And then there's also a key in the bag. And so just kind of like the map, the key is a reminder that you were always welcome here. And that, like I said, no matter where you go, you always have a home here and you could always come back. So no matter where you are in life. So let me stand over here. I'm going to call out the high school graduates' names and just wave your hand, and then I'm going to hand it over to Caroline, who works with our college ministry. She's going to call out the college graduates' name, so just raise your hand when she calls your name. So for high school, Caleb John, Union County.